Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hanging out with Clint Sterner, I'm Jeremy Branham. Huge decisions looming over the defensive side of the ball for the Houston Texans. They made a move already. Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel's contract running out. But now you have some players to worry about. There's two notable free agents that are going to hit the market pretty soon, unless the Texans can get a deal done before the free agent market opens up, or maybe the tag. Who knows? Bradley Roby, DJ Reader. Just an old-fashioned game of who would you rather. Who would you rather have back on the Houston Texans defense next season? Who helps Anthony Weaver more, DJ Reader or Bradley Roby?
This is painful for me, JB. This is painful because, look, man, I got a ton of respect for both of these guys, obviously, but one of them we've had in the post-game, interviews, me and Sean Pendergast, and I'm just a big fan. I love the way he plays the game. I love the way he handles his business. You know, he's a guy that to me, is a piece that you would like to build around. I don't know that he's a top 10 player on this team. I don't know that you can afford to, invest that kind of money in DJ Reader, at this point in time, but I really, really respect the hell out of his game. So when you give me the options between Reader and Roby, I've got to go with Roby here. And here's why. If I can only keep one, I hope that I don't have to make this decision.
Right.
I hope that Bill O'Brien doesn't ever have to make this decision. But when it's all said and done, if I've got to pick between the two, I'm picking Bradley Roby. All right? And here's why. One, the ability. The gap between him and the rest of the DBs is significant. I really believe that. I think that Lonnie Johnson is a guy that's got a chance to make up a lot of ground rather quickly. Mm-hmm. I think he's got an ability standpoint, the ceiling's very high. But right now, I think there's a significant gap between what he's capable of doing from a coverage standpoint and everybody else. You talk about Gerrion Conley. Jury's out. I like him in the second or third role. Jury's out if he's going to be a one. You look at Vernon Hargraves, like him in the slot, not convinced that he's ready for that. Does he take the next step? We'll see. Lonnie Johnson, I like him all over the field, like his matchup, like the ceiling, but he's young. You've only seen a year of him, okay? He was banged up a little bit this year, but you saw some good, you saw some bad. Not real sure what you got. So from an ability standpoint, I got to go with Bradley Roby. Take it a step further, let's talk about versatility. You're talking about a guy that can play boundary or field corner. You're talking about a guy that can play in the slot. You're talking about a guy that can help you in a matchup situation, any of those positions I just mentioned, or in a situation where you get an injury and you need to have a guy boundary. You need to have a guy to the field, or you need to have a guy in the slot. He has the ability to do that. So ability alone, skill set alone, with the versatility, I think those are two main factors. Last but not least, Jeremy, the ability to make game-changing plays. The ability to make – we saw a pick six, right? We saw a couple of drop pick sixes. But the ability, the twitch, the confidence, the combination of skill that it takes and experience that it takes to put yourself in position to make a play to seal a game, or to make a play to give your team another chance, or make a play to put your team up 7-0 early. Those are all things that, to me, if you make it a habit, JB, of letting guys walk out your door that possess all of those abilities, then it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. I liken this to the Jadeveon Clowney move or conversation, okay? Now, Bradley Roby's not Jadeveon Clowney. He's not in the same stratosphere with Jadeveon Clowney from what he potentially can do. I am not saying that. So before the text board blows up, relax a little bit, okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about you got a proven playmaker, okay, that may not be as good a legit pass rusher as you thought he would be when you drafted him over one overall, but he's still a monster in this league.
Talking about Clowney.
Yes, he still has the ability to take over games and make game-changing plays. And you can't continue to let guys like that walk out the building because it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. And so I view Bradley Roby as one of those. I don't know where Bradley Roby fits into Bill O'Brien's a tough, hard work competitor. You know, I don't know about all that. But I know he's a playmaker, and I know that this football team is better if he's the one corner, the two corner, or the three corner than he is if he's not with this football team. And so if I got to pick one, JB, Reader or Roby, I'm picking Roby. It's painful. It's painful, but when you're playing that interior defensive line, man, it's just hard for me to think that that's a bigger piece to the pie than a corner that gives you a chance to win football games.
Roby and Reader, the two biggest free agents that could hit the market on the Houston Texans defense, and I agree with you. To me, it's the corner. It's a passing game now in the NFL. If you don't have somebody that can shut down a top receiver or at least defend a top receiver well, then you have no chance in the NFL. And what was the biggest problem for the Houston Texans going into the offseason last year? The secondary. Yeah. The secondary was a huge concern. Bradley Roby eased that concern a bit because he was your number one corner and had a pretty productive year. Now, DJ Reader was really productive as well, but it's a passing game now in the NFL. Now, when I say that, you're going to have the counterpoint. Well, the Baltimore Ravens run the ball really well, but they like to get to the outside a little bit. I don't know how much DJ Reader would help slow down the Baltimore Ravens offense. And if you look at yourself and you view yourself as a contender in the AFC, you got to start looking at some of the opponents that could potentially play.
Yeah, look, JB, I mean, when you talk about this league today, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said it about the Texans when they played Kansas City, and they said it about the who they just beat the Titans. The
Titans,
and he said, "You got to first and foremost, you got to stop the run." I about spit my coffee out. I said, "Versus Kansas City, you got to stop the run."
Right.
Let me tell you the last thing I'm worried about when I play Kansas City is stopping a damn run. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. It's football. You got to play football. You got to run the ball. You got to stop the run. I get it. But your focal point of going into a game is not cannot be versus Kansas City to stop the run. They ain't going to commit to the run. Hell, they want to throw it on you.
They'd be doing you a favor if they ran the ball.
Yeah, so I'm like, you may have stopped the run. You may have done a great job stopping the run. But they don't want to even attempt to run it. Right now, somebody said the other day, well, look at him. The running game came alive. Bro, Pat Mahomes had 7 rushes for 53 yards. He was your leading rusher.
Yeah.
7 rushes. And six. In fact, I don't know that any of those were designed runs, truth be told.
Well, the touchdown wasn't at all when he got loose down the sideline.
Right. So don't tell me that they need to stop the run versus Kansas City. my point is that in this league in 2020, the one thing you better be able to do is rush the passer and cover down. And it's got to be a combination of the two. We got a texter who by the way, is spot on here. Don't forget that Roby is the answer for T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, T.Y. was hurt, but I like – he's an answer. He is an answer. He's an option, a good option, when you play a team that's got a top receiver. I agree with that. If you don't have pressure on the quarterback, doesn't matter who your cornerbacks are. I'm sorry, if you don't have pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't matter who your cornerbacks are. You're exactly right. So finding a guy up front that can apply pressure to the quarterback with or without J.J. Watt is key.
And it's not D.J. Reader.
And that's no disrespect to D.J. Reader. He's great at what he does. He is a monster at what he does. He's an up-and-coming young superstar at what he does. But I just don't know that I'm going to pick him over a pass rusher. I don't know that I'm going to pick him over a cover corner that has a chance to be a one cover corner on this football team. My point is in 2020, you better be able to rush the passer. You better be able to you better have multiple answers for a passing attack, or you have no chance.
I'd hate to be simplistic about it too, but there's a reason that players like Bradley Roby, who had the potential to be really good cornerbacks, go in the first round, like Bradley Roby did. And there's a reason that nose tackles that are good football players, like D.J. Reader, goes in the sixth round. It gives you a little bit of an idea. Look, D.J. Reader's outplayed the expectation.
No
D.J. Reader's outplayed where he got drafted. But there's a reason why NFL teams value the corner in the first round and solid that turned into really good nose tackles later in the draft in the fifth, sixth round.
Yeah, no, look, the importance of positional players like a corner or like a quarterback or in today's game like a hybrid tight end, you know, I mean, those guys are just, they're valuable, man. They're very valuable in today's game. The game has changed tremendously, and those guys are becoming more and more valuable. You know, so it's again, it's not a point of whether I like one more than the other. It's a simple fact that I think the secondary, which starts with Bradley Roby, is significantly better than we give it credit for. I think it's taken a serious hit because the pass rush for this football team was non-existent without J.J. Watt. And so I believe that you fix the rush up front first and foremost. Find a way to fix it. I don't care if it's a draft pick. If you find a gem in the second, then so be it. If you got to trade more to move up in the first, there's a guy you fall in love with that can help you immediately, then so be it. If there's a free agent out there, you got $60 million in cap space roughly to go out there and make some noise. Again, I don't know where that money's allocated, so don't. I don't want to hear no contract crap, cap conversation. I know there's money out there. However you find a way to fix it, the number one priority after getting Anthony Weaver in place, right? You know the scheme. You know who the coach is. The players are next. You got to go find some help up front and be able to get after the passer. It's 2020, baby. You got to be able to get Mahomes off his spot. And, you know, here's another thing. Talk about, like, stopping. Some guys will say, well, what about the pass rush? What about playing a run? What about Kansas City? I mean, San Francisco's on the other side.
Yeah.
They're running the ball. Guess who they're not blocking? Guess who one of their schemes is to take advantage of? An interior defensive lineman that can't chase down the backside as well as a defensive end or an outside linebacker can. So they're scheming up for that guy. So it's even more important that you have speed up front. It's just a change in game, man, and it's going to be fun to watch how the Texans try to load up on the defensive side of the football. I think they're a little bit closer than most people give them credit for. But it'll be interesting to see what answers they have for this year.
It'll be interesting too. Anthony Weaver, a defensive line coach, like, what does he value? Will he have a say in personnel a little bit? Will he get in O'Brien's ear, letting him know, like, what do I want on my defensive side of the football? I'm a little bit. I disagree with you about the talent on this defense. I think that they are kind of far away. And I've listened to your promo about, you know, go find the next J.J. Watt, which sounds great in theory. Please hand me $1 million. That sounds great in theory. Like, I am worried how the Texans can go improve the defensive line. That's a tough position to fix. They're in demand. Everybody wants them for all the reasons you just broke down. And the earliest pick that they have is a second. They've traded future picks down the road. So, yes, having the next J.J. Watt would be wonderful. I just don't know how they could possibly get it
it's
done.
Not, the point's not the next J.J. Watt, as in 99, the three-time defensive player of the year.
Somebody who can help.
First ballot Hall of Famer, but it's a guy you can build around.
Yeah.
Right? You go into this season, this 2019 season, you let Jadeveon Clowney walk out the door. It's blatantly obvious you're building around J.J. Watt. And Whitney Mercilus has success because of it. Some other guys have some success because of it. When J.J. Watt disappears, then all of a sudden you're in a position where you can't move the quarterback. You're worse than the league at rushing the passer, essentially. Maybe not worse, but next to worse. So my point in finding the next J.J. Watt is invest time and money and draft it, whatever you have to invest in a particularly, I would go after a true rush defensive end, outside linebacker that can put his hand in the dirt and go get after the quarterback with the best of them. And then if J.J. Watt's healthy, good. You got a monster front. If he's not, you still got a piece that demands attention, and your counter punches are still at least effective. Right now, you can't go, well, we got to go get a corner, or we got to go get a linebacker, or we got to go get this tight end, or we got to go get this guy because we can build around J.J. That cannot be the message any longer for this football team, man, defensively. Yeah. It's not I know it's going to be, golly, man, it's a needle in a haystack if you're looking for a three-time defensive player of the year in a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I'm talking about a foundational piece, a guy you know. And look, it's a crapshoot in a draft. It's a crapshoot in free agency. But a guy that you feel comfortable in going, I'm going to build around this guy right here. What does Anthony Weaver want to do? And this is the guy that he wants to build around up front.
They're going to have to hit. They're going to have to hit.
No
question. Either they're going to have to hit on their second rounder like the Colts hit on Darius Leonard.
Yep.
Or they're going to have to hit on a bargain free agent like Tampa Bay hit on Shaq Barrett. Because, one, elite free agents don't hit the free agency market. There's a reason that Shaq Barrett was on the streets, and that's because he was behind Von Miller for so long. Now he's going to get this huge contract with Tampa Bay. So it's going to come down to your personnel. Like, who do you have in that front office that you can establish a bargain free agent that maybe can produce 10 to 11 sacks? Maybe isn't like the franchise of the position, maybe isn't the cornerstone at the position, but gives you incredible productivity and gets you double digit sacks. Or you're going to have to hit with your second rounder. Or, like you said, if you fall in love with somebody, maybe you package a 2 and a 3 to trade up late in the first round. There's ways to get it done, but you have to hit.
Yeah.
Your personnel staff has to hit. And right now, the personnel staff seems to be like it's a little bit of limbo.
Yeah.
With what they have going on over there after, you know, some of the firings, or their shakeups, are there moves to be made? I still think they're going to hire a general manager when it's all said and done. I think that that
I was hoping you'd say an offensive coordinator, but go ahead.
Well, I think that that ship has sailed, don't you? Well, I mean, what do you put as the possibilities? I would love that. That would be the biggest offseason acquisition this team could make.
Bro, it would be the biggest offseason acquisition this team could make in years.
I completely agree.
I mean, I think it could be that powerful of a change, because you got a very, very talented group of guys across the board. Our fan base, us as media members, I don't think we realize how talented these guys are across the board, with or without Fuller. I mean, if you get the right guy in there pulling plays, then it could be really, really nasty, man. And so, I think that's something that's got to. Not only do I think it has to happen, JB. To me, it's one that when you look at the entire organization and you self-evaluate, I think it is the neon light on the wall that's blinking. Like, not only is it neon, but that sucker's blinking 90 to nothing. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, not only should you be held accountable to notice. I'll tell you this: if the offensive coordinator weren't the GM and the head coach right now, he would be on a hot seat.
I completely agree.
If he were being self-evaluated separate from the head coach and the GM, there would be some serious, serious questions about what they're doing. And some people look at you and go, well, Deshaun Watson's the problem. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Look, man, you got a national championship quarterback. You got a guy that clearly is – there's no doubt about it. This dude is as – locked in and dialed in and committed to being great at this position and winning and playing winning football, that you're either coaching it or you're accepting it, right? If he's not progressing and developing, that's on your ass. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm training a quarterback and I'm working with a guy that's committed to me, I'm coming to you, man. I'm in it once a week. We've been at this thing for 2 months. If he's not making progress, there's either a serious talent deficit, like a talent problem, or I ain't doing my damn job. We've all seen Deshaun Watson. There ain't a talent problem there, right? And so at some point in time, I agree, the players got to go out there and make things happen, and there's a learning curve. But damn it, if Deshaun Watson doesn't develop, that's you either coaching it or you're accepting it.
To me, it's a championship-level offense. Pro Bowl quarterback, one of the best receivers in the NFL, one of the best number two receivers in the NFL that can take the top off the defense, an all-pro left tackle, and an offensive line that's dramatically improved, a 1,000-yard rusher, and one of the best third-down running backs in the NFL. That's a championship-level offense. What's the missing piece? Preach, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.